Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy But Human podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I'm so excited to have you here today listening to today's episode with my friend Grace Valentine on the show. We're talking about all the things navigating your 20s. Think of this like your little girly guide to navigating all the common struggles in your 20s. We're talking things like body image, talking things like confidence, finding your identity, career path struggles, fears, relationships, situationships, singleness, friendships. We're literally packing in so many things. And I just know you're going to love it. Grace has so much wisdom, but she shares it in such a relatable, just tangible way. And that's why I actually initially found her, I think it was in 2021 or 2022 when I was getting back into my faith. I found her podcast and it was just so like actually relatable. I don't know about you, but I used to think all Christians were stuffy Christians and didn't talk about real life situations or experience real life things I was going through. And she's someone who really talks about it all. So if you don't already know her, I know you're going to love her. She is such a little firecracker. But before we get into today's episode with Grace, let's do a little self-check-in. This is just a time to slow down in a busy day, if it's busy, not busy, whatever, and just see how you're feeling. So wherever you are, take a nice deep inhale through your nose, fill up your lungs with so much goodness, so much love into your amazing, beautiful body. And then just exhale, sighing out, letting go of anything that has been causing you to feel tense, anything that's not serving you, just release it with your breath. Okay, now I want you to ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how am I feeling right now? And just like getting real with yourself here. And now asking yourself, why do I feel like this? Oftentimes, our feelings and emotions are signals that something could be off. Maybe we're believing a lie in our life. Maybe we're not believing a lie and we're just having the best day ever and we're feeling great. So just starting to think about like why you're feeling this way. And now I want you to ask yourself, what is something that has been holding me back from truly becoming my best self in my life? Maybe it's a group of people that you've been hanging out with. Maybe it's a unhealthy work-life balance. Maybe it's just the different foods you've been eating just aren't serving your body well. Whatever it is, just start to think about it. Maybe it's you haven't been making enough time for the Lord in your day-to-day life and just kind of feel like you're caught up in the busyness. Super, super real stuff. And now the follow-up question is I want you to ask yourself, okay, so how can I add to my life to make it better? Maybe it's adding in that God time. Maybe it's adding in hanging out with the girl you just met who you really want to become friends with. Or maybe it's just going outside a little bit more, doing a feel-good Pilates workout. Just have to think about it. And now I want you to ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? If you haven't, or if you have, let's just all grab our waters and hydrate in 3, 2, 1, cheers. All right. Woo! Feeling hydrated and good. Okay, now I want you to ask yourself, what is something that I'm currently struggling with in my life right now? Just think about the struggle. Maybe you're navigating your 20s. Maybe you're in college still. Maybe you're in high school listening, or you're in your 30s and you have 5 kids. Just think about it. We're all in different seasons in this podcast community. So just keep real with yourself. And now the question of the day, how can I turn my struggle into a strength? And I encourage you to ask the Lord to help you in this, because ultimately it's not in our own doing that we can turn things around perfectly and make things amazing. Like ultimately it's the Lord. He's the Redeemer in our life, in our things. So when we hand things over to Him and we ask Him, hey God, like, what do you want me to do in this season I'm in right now? And just surrender it to Him. Like that's when the struggles can turn around into beautiful, amazing things, because He does work through our struggles and He turns them into just gorgeous, awesome things, even when they don't feel like they could be amazing. Okay, now I just want you to take one more deep breath. Exhale. And I'm going to just pray over us before we get into our episode with Grace. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every single person listening to this podcast. Lord, you know exactly who's going to listen to this podcast. You know exactly what they need, what they're walking through. And I just pray you'd press in right now and just pour out your Holy Spirit on everyone listening. I pray you would just make the things stick out that need to stick out. And I pray that you would just speak to people listening to the podcast and help them hear your voice in a really cool, beautiful way. Lord, I pray you just show everyone listening just your deep love for them and help them see themselves the way that you see them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's do this thing. Just a little background on Grace. I know I already introed her a little bit, but she'll talk about herself a little bit as well in the intro, but she is currently in Atlanta. She has a purpose retreat that is every year. And for anyone who isn't familiar with the purpose retreat, I actually helped lead at it last year. And I think, God willing, we'll be going back this year. I need to pray about it a little bit more, but it was truly such an incredible experience. Like, if you're looking for a group of girls who are incredible humans and you're looking to just build your relationship with God and also grow in community, like, this retreat is so incredible. It is set in such a beautiful scenery, an amazing just like mountainous area, literally gorgeous. Like, I had such a blast going last year and I cannot speak highly enough of this retreat. It's so fun. So I'm going to link below how you can join the retreat. And I definitely, definitely recommend. I mean, Grace always has incredible speakers at it. It's so much fun, like, for real, so fun. I made so many friends going to it. And otherwise, she has a lot of awesome books as well. I have actually a couple of her books. One of them is the I Am Enough book. It's just so, I just love how she writes. So I cannot speak highly enough of Grace. I mean, aside from what she does, Grace is just a light for the kingdom. She is so bubbly, so confident, makes everyone feel seen, and it's such a beautiful trait about her. So that being said, everyone, welcome Grace to the show, and we're gonna talk all the things navigating your 20s. You may have heard me talk about this before, but something I've been prioritizing in 2024 is taking small actions each day to improve at least 1% in my physical, mental, and spiritual health. One of those daily healthy habits I've been loving is taking care of my gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. I first started taking Seed way back in 2019 when I was having all sorts of painful gastrointestinal issues and was getting no answers from my doctor. During this time, I dove into the world of holistic health and learned how important a healthy gut microbiome is for the rest of the body to thrive and feel amazing. So I started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and experienced significant ease in my bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. One of the many things I love about Seed is how easy it is to fit Seed into my daily routine. No refrigeration is needed, and the free travel vial from the welcome kit allows you to take DS01 on the go, which we love, especially with summer travels right around the corner. As you know, I'm currently pregnant and I'm super cautious about what different things I'm putting into my body, so I definitely feel reassured taking DS01 over other probiotics because of their rigorous scientific testing and 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali, code 25Cali. Tell everyone who you are, where you're from, what you're about, all the things.
Oh, gosh. One, it's so fun to be on your podcast, Callie. It's way more fun when I get to do these things with friends. And so it's just a joy. So thanks for having me on. But yeah, my name's Grace Valentine. I am 27. I live in Atlanta, but I grew up in South Louisiana, went to Baylor. I'm a writer. I feel like it's the best way to describe myself. I love to write. I write on my Instagram. I write real books. I call them mini books online, which is like little short encouragement that always points people to scripture, but also hopefully is relatable and reminds them of the feelings that they feel first. Like, that's always my structure, is like to sit with them in the feelings, but then provide like scripture truth in a relatable way. Now that I'm in Atlanta, I moved to Atlanta in September. So there was a lot of change. I love going on runs, working out. I'm trying to get into Pilates like you, but I love squatting. Like, yeah, I tried CrossFit, but that was a little too scary, but I use a refrigerator, but yeah. So I need to be more long and lean girl, but yeah, love sushi. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm in seminary, which is super fun, super challenging. Just reminding me the importance of being a student first of God's word. And yeah, I feel like that's kind of the rundown. I have a retreat that you've helped with and that's one of my favorite things I do every year, is just bring young adult women together who want to grow the relationship with Christ. They can have no relationship with him, but they want friends. They can be people who've been walking with him since they were 12 years old, and bring them together and hopefully teach them about Christ, but also help them find community. And so that's kind of a goal.
Yeah. And I've actually talked about retreats so many times. I feel like I'm always like, and I met this person from Purpose Retreat and this. It was truly so fun last year. Oh my goodness. And okay, I actually initially, I don't know if I told you this, but I found you probably in like 2021 or 2022 when I was getting back into my faith. And I just like I found your podcast, and it was just such a breath of fresh air because you're so relatable. You talk about real things. You're not just like, I don't want to use this word, like a stuffy Christian. Like, you actually talk about real.
I think I used it on my last slide sometimes.
So. That's probably where I feel that. And anyways, like, it's just so refreshing. And I feel like, I mean, everyone, Christian, not Christian, whatever, like, we're all walking through different things and have different struggles. And it's really refreshing, like, how you talk about real issues in such a relatable way. So I just would love to hear kind of how you got back into your faith. I know you went to Baylor for college, and I'll know a little bit of your testimony, but for anyone listening, if you don't mind sharing, just like, how did it happen?
Yeah, of course. Well, I grew up in South Louisiana, where I feel I was the Christian in it, and I was like living very different at that time, but I also was like really bullied in the beginning of high school. And then I became cool because I also was obsessed with my looks, and it worked. And I think that's like the worst of, like, if anyone has had an eating disorder or has had just an obsession with body image, the thing that sucks the most is sometimes when you're obsessed, you get these compliments from people, and people do treat you better because of the world we live in. And then it became addictive, and also like gave me a lot of anxiety, because I was like, oh, in order to be cool, I have to be skinny, I have to be tan, I have to be blonde, I have to do all these things. And so my senior year, I remember like I went from being really weird my freshman year to like class president, which I guess you could still be weird, but like in student government, but like on homecoming court and stuff. But I remember speaking at graduation being like, man, I'm so broken. Like, and I felt the Holy Spirit in that moment be like, one day when you are like, you learn some more things, like you might be, you know, God maybe could use you to speak. And I'm gonna be like, that's so weird. Like, that's not my calling. Like, and I was like, maybe I'm supposed to be a lawyer like Elle Woods. Is that what that meant? You know, like, anyway, so then I went to college, and I kind of just went like crazy, because I almost feel like I was so obsessed with being perfect in high school that I almost did the opposite of, I want to be cool, like in a different way. And I was seeking freedom. And so I like got into like the crowd that like drank. And I think at Baylor, it's easy to be like, no one does that. I'm like, at Baylor, it's either one way or another. And I think I didn't feel like I fit in with the rich Christians, because I've had a job since I was 15. Like, I didn't fit in with that was the Gucci belt era. Like, I was like, I can't afford that. I have the Gucci belt. Anyways, so I very much was like, okay, I like this crowd is more genuine. And the truth is, like, they really were more genuine and like good people. Like, there was the Christian judgmental and there was not. But the issue is, then I started to become like everyone else, and I just drank so much. And there's nothing fun from blacking out. Like, when you black out a certain amount of times, you just wake up with like anxiety, like hang anxiety, like texts that you would never say. You put yourself in horrible situations, and you may be laughing with your friends about it, but the truth is, you do not feel peace about that at all. And so finally, my sophomore year, I was like, I'm not having fun. Like, someone told me this would be fun, and I just got sold a lie, you know? And I finally walked away from that, and I just started writing. Like, that became like a love language with the Lord, and it's so cool what he has done with that. Like, it was started with writing my prayers, and I slowly got the confidence to post things online. But that's kind of how I got back with Jesus, is just like, after a really bad night, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this isn't fun. And it's cool because I'm sure you relate to this too. And I think I know your story in that way too, of like, God will use your lowest moments for his greatest good. And so I look back on that, and I'm like, part of the reason I feel like I am relatable is because I'm like, I know what it feels like to walk into a church and be like, is everyone looking at me thinking, why the heck is Grace here? You know? And so that's why I'm like, I want to reach those people who feel that way, who are like, I'm scared to like feel or talk about my faith because that's not my brand. And I'm like, there's no such thing as like a way a Christian looks or acts or their story. Like, we're all so unique, and God cares about all of our past, but we get to have the Holy Spirit change us and alter our life. And I realized when I started walking with Jesus that obedience is way more fun. Like, I thought being obedient would make my life boring, and it has given me way more fun. Like, even like Purpose Retreat, like, all these cool people from all over are just like hiking up a mountain, laughing together, dancing in the parking lot, like doing whatever it is. And that's because we're all walking in obedience, and we meet each other through that. And so that's just what I learned a little bit. That's like the short version, obviously.
I love that. I relate to that so much. I mean, I kind of had a similar-ish testimony of the fact that, like, for me, it was I grew up in the church and had a lot of, like, the people that I experienced and was around were some of the meanest people, and they were, like, the good Christians. And so I was really, like, turned off by that. And then in college, I just, like, went down the same path of just kind of, like, going in the world and partying and doing all the same things. And, like, when I would wake up, like one time, I only blacked out once, praise the Lord, and it was terrible. The feeling of like waking up the next morning, just in my clothes, on my bed, had no idea what happened, had no idea, like I genuinely had no idea what happened. And my guy friend was on the couch. Praise the Lord, it was him and not some other random dude, because I knew like he wouldn't do anything to me. And it was just like a horrible feeling. And I remember it was like, I mean, I didn't have like a, it wasn't like an overnight thing of, oh, like I'm done with this, but just through slow and just slowly continuing to go out, realizing how unfulfilling it was, how anxious I felt when I would drink and drink and drink and be so drunk to the point where like I wasn't even myself. Eventually, I was like, this, there's more to life than this. And even now, like, if I mean, I haven't gone to a bar in like a couple months, but when I went out and like, I was drinking like wine before I got pregnant, like nothing wild, but I would like get a glass of wine and I was kind of like looking around and I was like, wow, like this isn't my type of fun anymore. Like, I don't know. I love like the hiking up a mountain, like having deep conversations. I think, yeah, like you're saying, like walking in obedience is, it is fun, even though maybe on the outside it doesn't look like it's fun, but it really, when you're in it, it's so fulfilling and so life-giving, and I love it so much. So that's, I love your testimony. It's very relatable. So
No, I
good.
think that's beautiful too. And I know that feeling too when you're standing in like, and I also go to bars with friends and whatever, but my world doesn't revolve around it like it used to. Like I would almost stand there with anxiety in a crop top and like feel bloated and feel like a horrible, like, you know. And now I'm like, okay, I can walk in and walk out. Like I'm not thinking, okay, everyone, let's get blue drops. Like, you know, like it used to be my world. And I'm like, now I'm like, okay, I can walk in. And sometimes I'll walk in and be like, man, it smells in here. I'm out. Like, let's go back. Like, let's watch a movie and drink wine at my house and eat takeout. Like, you know, like you kind of realize. I mean, there was a season where I had to give up alcohol completely too, in order to get to that healthy point, because I was like, I can't drink without getting just blackout. And I blacked out way more than one time. And it like you said, it's the worst. And you put yourself in a dangerous situation, and it's not treating your body like a temple, because it's, you're losing control. And like, if you don't have control, and that means self-control, then you're not being aligned with the spirit, and you're not being aligned with God. So that means you're being aligned with someone else, and it's probably the enemy. And so I had to realize that who I was in those moments was being led by literally the enemy. And so I had to walk away from that.
Yeah, that's so real. Like walking by the spirit versus following the other way. Okay, I got a couple questions about this, and I know you talk about this a lot, and I love it. But like when you, so when you talk about, I remember this was like actually part of what you had me talk about was like not idolizing your health. And I love you posted recently a whole little mini book about the spring break body. And I know like spring break, we're kind of in the season now where it's like the spring break summer body era of that pressure. And I would love to hear more about like how do you treat your body like a temple, but also not making health and wellness and taking care of yourself and all these things like an idol in your life.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is an idol is anything you put before your God. And so, like, if you can't walk in the church because you're so stressed about working out and getting your workout in before that, if you are aligning, if you care more about your workout than seeking community. And I think even the idea of thinking you have to prepare your body for something like a trip, isn't even loving God enough, because like it's not about preparing your body, it's about like creating a healthy mindset. And even for me, I know sometimes when I work out, like I can be obsessed with like the stats, and I'm like, okay, or like looking at the calorie marks or whatever those are, and I get like more anxious at the gym because all I can do is look at that. And when I kind of remove those objectives, and I'm like, my objective is to worship God in a way with my body, like that is when I actually found peace. Because I think I used to treat working out like it was a punishment, that I'm like, oh, I have to get skinnier. Like, let me just hurt my body, tear it apart. But when I looked at it in a more loving way of like, this is a celebration of what my body can do. Like, it is so cool. Like, if you've ever done a half marathon, which you have, I'm sure, right? Have you done a half marathon? No, you haven't? Okay. Done a
No.
couple. I don't know, you're a Pilates
I've done
girl.
six miles. Running's not Maybe one day.
Okay, you can run a half marathon then, because I'm telling you, like, the adrenaline you get when you start running by people cheering strangers, I'm like, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. It's so cool. You ever have one of those moments, or even at 5K, 6 miles, you're like, wow, my body just did that. Like, how cool that God gave me two legs that are able to carry myself, like, through really hard seasons in my life, through really hard moments, but also through 6 miles, through 13.1 miles. And so it is about making sure you celebrate what your body can do, not punish it for what it doesn't look like. And it's important when you go to work out that you have a posture and you remember the purpose of it, because if you put it before God, then, like, you're going to get a unhealthy mindset. And if your goal is to get hot, like, you're always going to be disappointed, because something I always tell people is, I'm like, there's always someone hotter than you. There is always someone with a better body. I always tell college girls, really honest, I'm like, Zendaya is hotter than all of us. Like, there's just, like, no doubt about it. Like, Zendaya is hotter than me. I'm like, I used to have a big crush on Tyler Cameron from The Bachelor, and I had to get to the point of being like, okay, he dates Gigi Hadid and not Grace Valentine for a reason. Like, you know, like, he's out of my league, and that's okay. I'm like, I even tell college girls, like, the only guy we can all get is Morgan Wallen in a dark bar. Like, we can all get him, okay? It's, like, all up for grabs. But other than that, I truly believe it's, like, when you realize, okay, I may not be the hottest girl in the room, but I can be the one who is strong, who points people to Christ, who's inclusive, who, when I walk in the room, that they're like, man, I'm so glad Grace is here, because she will talk to me. She doesn't care about click. She doesn't care about that. Like, that is who I want to be. And so I need to tend to that spirit just as much as I tend to my physical health. My physical health is an ability for me to live a long, loving life. And so I want to care for it well, but I'm not going to obsess with it, because at the end of the day, at my funeral, if people talk about my body, I'd be very disappointed. If people stood up and said, man, well, Grace was super hot on spring break, I'd be like, wait, talk about how nice and funny I was. So that is when I realized that moment of, like, wait a second, if I don't want people to remember me just for my looks, then maybe I should look for a more meaningful life. And that helped me, like, identify, like, yes, I'm working out to live a long, loving life, but my goal is to be loving and not to live like I have to prove that I'm worth loving.
That's so good. Oh my goodness. And it's like, okay, even the definition of hot that our world makes it, like, I also just look at that too, and I'm like, okay, the world has defined hot for us, and I'm like, God doesn't see any of us that way. Like, he didn't decide, like, oh, I'm going to design Zendaya, like, hotter than Grace, or design Taylor Swift above Callie. Like, that's not how God operates. Like, he made every single one of us so beautiful in his image, and he doesn't see us in that level of definition. So I also, like, I even think about, like, how the world defines us and our identities as, like, what do we do, and makes that who we are. But the Lord's like what you accomplish and do is not your identity. Like, you already are, I created, like, you're more than what you do. And so I realized that recently, and I'm just like, wow, like, we are, like, everything that's put pressure on us, especially as women, like, it's, I'm like, this isn't even how God would describe us whatsoever.
People, like, we're a daughter of God before you're a girlfriend or a wife or whatever. I mean, like, one of my favorite books that are stories in the Bible is, like, in Acts 9 of someone named Tabitha. And it's so cool because we don't know much about Tabitha. Like, we can assume she's married, but all we know is, like, that she was kind and cared for the widows and the poor in her area, and she would sew clothes for them. And the same people who were the most overlooked people walked 26 miles to grab Peter when he was performing miracles after Jesus rose from the dead to bring him back. And, like, Tabitha went from, like, dead to being not raised to life like the Holy Jesus was, but from being, like, no pulse to, like, being able to be living again. And because her life wasn't done. And I'm like, when I look at my life, I'm like, I want to be someone who's, like, a daughter of Christ, like Tabitha, who just loved the overlooked, who, like, that was her goal. And when people look back on, like, what they remember her for, like, no one's talking about her relationship status. No one's talking about her body. No one's talking about her looks. Like, they're talking about her love. And so, like, that is the, and that she was a daughter of Christ. And so I'm like, you were a daughter of Christ before you were an athlete, before you were the girl who went to Pilates, before you were the girl who did CrossFit or went on a half marathon, or before you were the girl who was scared to shop because you feel like you're not worthy right now with your body. Like, you were a daughter of Christ before that. So you're supposed to walk in that holiness. And there will always be people in a broken world that does care. And I think that's what's annoying, is you'll watch people, you'll watch guys, you'll watch relationships, like, you'll watch reality shows where they talk about looks. Like, I was on a Love is Blind kick and I had to stop, but I'm like, they talk so much about looks on Love is Blind, and it's like so ironic to me. Like, the whole purpose of this is to not care about looks, and yet we're still talking about looks. And so I'm like, this world will always be broken, but, like, do you want to be a daughter of Christ, or do you want to walk and try to approve other people and be like the world. And that's something for me I had to put in perspective too, of being like, it doesn't matter to God, but what matters is, am I being loving? Like, am I walking in his like leadership and letting him be my father, and letting him have control of my life? Because that actually is what makes a difference.
That's so good. For someone who maybe is struggling with, like, they know they're daughter of Christ, or like they hear that, but for them it's like they're just still struggling to like deeply know that. How would you say that person, like, what advice would you give that person for, like, for figuring out what their true identity is?
Well, I think write down all your prayers. If there's any advice I can give you for like trying to grow your walk with God, it's like get a journal and write down your prayers. Because I was joking with someone recently, they go, do you like to look at your ROI for prayers? I'm like, yeah, I do. Like, I love looking back and seeing what, oh, God answered it this way. God, like, is in communication, because you're going to see God's sovereignty if you look for it. But the issue is, a lot of times in this busy world, we don't look for his sovereignty. We don't look for the way that he works in our life. We just ask him for things and things happen or things don't. And then we move on. And so like, write down your prayers, because you're going to realize how active your father is in your life is if you're looking for him. And so write them down and go back and read old ones. And I think when it comes to like knowing your worth, if you're honest with people, like, you have to release the lies that you're feeling and experiencing. And so like, admit the lies to close friends or to community, like seek Christian community and tell them what you're struggling with. Because when you do that, you give other people the chance to like speak truth into your heart, and the spirit and like God's presence can come through other people speaking truth into your heart. And so, but you can't just like believe the lies and just try to ignore them. Like, you have to let them out, and that is powerful. Like, there's been seasons where I'm like, I feel unlovable, like I feel unworthy, I have gained 10 pounds, like, am I still loved, am I still worthy? And I have to confess to friends, and they speak into me. And I also think it's something so beautiful about realizing that we talk about love languages with humans a lot. We know, we're like, oh, he's physical touch, oh, she's words of affirmation, she is quality time. And I'm like, we have a God who wants to use all his love languages to talk to us. So like, physically, like, I'll go on walks and listen to worship music or like a prayer walk. I might even do that on a treadmill. And it is so powerful to do that, because you're watching your body and you're realizing how good it is, because you're pointing it back to your good God. And I think that is something so important to incorporate regularly in your workouts, is like, whether it's worship music or whether it's just a prayer time. Like, I remember my first half marathon, I think this is so bad, my music like cut out after 3 miles because I didn't download it right. And I was in the mountains, I lost reception. Started crying because I didn't train well. I had horrible shoes. My friend Anna was running, and it was like her like fifth half marathon. She had like a fanny pack with like the gel packs. I didn't know what I was doing. So at the 3 miles, I didn't have any music, and I started crying, and I was like, okay, God, you have to talk. And then I had honestly like a crazy 10-mile experience where I was slow, but I felt God's presence. And it's because I gave him a chance to talk in my life. And so I think that it's so important when you're feeling like overwhelmed or sad or not pretty, you give God a chance to talk. Because how are you ever going to receive truth as if you're just yapping? Like, you got to be able to be silent and be still and reflect on his presence in order to be affected by his spirit.
That's so cool. I love that, like, even though your AirPods, like, your music completely just stopped working, you're like just talking to God. Because it's so true. Like, oftentimes, I mean, metaphorically, like, we have our AirPods in so often, and we're so consumed by everything around us, by the worries of the day, by so-and-so texting us back, by taking phone calls, listening to music, like consuming social media. Like, I find that like, unless I'm actively mindful about, hey, I like need to slow down, I don't slow down. And I'm like, my mind's always thinking about the next thing or what's currently happening. And that's when I find it gets so hard to hear the Lord's voice, because the God, he does want to talk to us. And I think like for a long time, I didn't believe that. Like, I didn't think that he wanted to talk to me. And I was like, okay, I see so-and-so like hearing from the Lord all the time, but like, why am I not hearing the Lord? And that's because I was just like not giving him a chance. Cause I was like always talking to him, and I was always like, Lord, I want this, I want that, like blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't just sitting there and listening. So that's really cool you had that experience. I love that. And then I was also going to say one more thing about like when you were talking about the walk, is that like recently I started teaching Pilates and praise workouts. So I blend worship music with Pilates and add like scripture affirmations into it. And literally it's so powerful, because the enemy tries to attack us a lot, especially as women, in our minds about our body and like the stats, all the things during our workouts. And I'm like realizing that as I like set my mind on the Lord during these workouts and things, like that chatter, the mean girl chatter, it's like not there. It's so cool. So I love that you said that as well.
I love how you also, I think it's beautiful that you used your gift. Like, you're like, wait, I have this love for Christ and I'm good at Pilates. Like, there's something I can do there. And I even think, like, it's so vulnerable to work out. Like, even if it's just you and a friend going to the gym and affirming each other during it, you know, and pointing each other to Christ and being like, no, we're not going to play the mean girls game where we tear each other apart. We're going to encourage each other. Like, there's something so powerful about being encouraged in the spirit, like through his scripture, through his word, through his like worship, whatever it is. And I'm like, there's something we can all incorporate in our own life.
Yeah, that's so good. And that actually leads me to another question someone had for you. And it's how to make friends and start to nourish those relationships as an adult.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things with adult friendships is the setting, because I think we seek, and that's even like the going out culture of like, if you're only hanging out with your friends Saturday night at a bar, like chances are you're not actually friends, you know, like you're looking for guys together or you're, you know, having fun together. But like friendship isn't just about having fun together. It's about doing life together. And so I think seeking someone that you can have fun doing the mundane things, the friendships where you can be like, hey, you want to just come over and sit on the couch with me? Like that is sometimes the best friendships of like, do you want to just like talk and like watch a show and cook dinner? Like that is sometimes the best way to like deepen your friendship, because there's something so great about doing the mundane together. Because when you do the mundane together, you have the opportunity to do life together. And that's what life is. It's like, it's not always going to be like the fun, exciting. And that's when deep talks can come in. I think also you have to remember community is something you have to create. Like there's no young life leader for young adults. There's no one who is going to create like a sorority for young adults. So you have to go out of your way to search for it and create it. And if you don't see something in your community, then create it. Like I know a girl who created like the DC Girls Who Walk, because she was looking for friends to walk. And suddenly now it's the big club that people do to make friends. Your goal may be to be joining things like that, like joining a pickleball thing, joining something that's a fun activity you enjoy, joining a walking group, or you may be creating something. There's been seasons where I'm like, there's no Bible study. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we should do a Bible study. And it's been great. And so don't be afraid to create it. And remember that it's not embarrassing to try. I think there's this weird mentality we get if we try to create something or to ask them to lunch and they don't want to go, it's embarrassing. And if I had to get over that and realize, oh, it's not embarrassing to be someone who cares and is putting myself out there. Like that's God in me. Like that's his leadership in me. And there'll be times when people don't reciprocate and that's okay. But I don't need to get caught up in that. I need to just celebrate the fact that I'm willing to always be bold and eager for Christ and for community. And so that's a good thing. And also the local church is so beautiful. And I think a lot of us has been hurt by churches. A lot of us have felt excluded. Don't give up, but don't like church shop to the extreme where it's like four weddings where you go to church, you're like, like this, but not this. And this is good. Like go in with a posture of loving God's body. And doesn't mean you have to be a part of it, but like keep trying till you find community. And don't just look at what it looks like on the outside. Join a life group, like join a small group, join and serve the church, because that's how you make true friendships in adulthood. And your friends may be different ages. You may have a mom friend who has three daughters who are around your age. But that's a beautiful friend that is a mentorship and someone you can still be friends with. Like the body of Christ does not have stipulations on friendship based on age, relationship status, or anything. And if anything, you're better when your friends are not all in the same season as you. So don't just seek people who are just like you. Like definitely find those community of people who understand where you're at, who maybe understands how hard the dating scene is in Tampa or whatever. But also find people who are one step ahead and one step behind, because that's the beautiful thing about the church. I don't know. Do you have any tips for that too?
I love that so much, because I mean the church, like what you're saying about like not church shopping to the extreme. I mean, it's so funny because I feel like, yeah, it's very, a lot of people do shop to like the wedding venue extreme where it's like this detail isn't perfect. But I think I realized, like especially with like my church I go to now, it's like the first time I actually went to this church and went to specifically their young adults like group that meets on Mondays. And I talked about this a little bit on my podcast before, but like my initial reaction was, these people are so weird. And I judged them. I straight up judged everyone. I was like, they don't look like cool. Which I know sounds too. What?
I've done it too. Well, like girls are like ingrained to do that. Of like, do they have the same style as me? Nice. Do they have this? Like you go into a room and you're like, I want to be friends with them. And I'm like, that is so selfish of us, because my best friendships have been the most unexpected. People who are so different than me.
Literally. And that's what, it's so funny and ironic that I had those thoughts when I first went there, because I went back And sure enough, literally two of my closest friends here are from that group. And it's like you're saying, I mean, I have friends who are, I'm 24, so I have friends who are in their 30s. I have friends who are still in college, like in their 20s. It's such a range of friends. And I think that's also something like you were saying a little bit with just like different stages of life, especially after college. Like when you're in college, it feels like everyone is in the same like exact place as you. And if you're friends with someone who's like 3 years older than you, that's a huge range. But I'm learning like after college is over, it's totally normal to be friends with someone 10 years older than you. Like that's 10 years is just a number. And like one of my best friends, she is like 31, I'm 24. Like we're literally like so close. And I'm just learning that like age doesn't matter. Like you're saying like the body of Christ, like God doesn't, he's not like, oh, that person can't be friends because they're so much different in age and different in life stages or whatever. Like that is something I'm learning. And there is so much beauty in having friends who are in different life stages as well, because we'll learn different things from them and we'll also be able to pour into them in different ways too. So like that's something that's been really cool that I've personally experienced also. Okay, another question I want to just ask you really fast that someone else asked is, okay, how to pursue the dreams that God gives you if they aren't a traditional path. And I know you have a lot of experience with this because obviously being an author and a speaker isn't the normal corporate 9-to-5 job that everyone is pressured to get in college. So I'd love to hear your hot take on that.
Yeah, well, I love that. And I'm starting like a course to help people understand like how I did what I did, because I know that there's like not a lot of advice on like publishing, social media, speaking. And so I wanted to create that. So that'll be out hopefully in the next like 2 months or 1 month. Hopefully, I don't know when this airs. Super cool thing that I would like have been praying about for a while. But I will say when it comes to that, my biggest advice is don't quit. Like if you feel called to a creative career and you're not from like a lot of money or whatever, you may have to juggle a lot of jobs and it's going to be worth it. I still babysit. I still substitute teach. I will never be better than another paycheck somewhere else, because I also know how fleeting a career on social media and writing is, that it is also keeps me humble. And it's something that I've had to do. Like for the longest time, I either worked at a church, or there was a time I had two jobs. And then the time I was a full-time nanny from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. But it was all because it worked around writing, where when the kids napped, I could write. When I left, I could write. It was one of those jobs that I could leave and I'd be like, hey, I'm not watching the kids now. I can write at night. And it was a lot, but it was worth it because like the spirit was leading me to that. And so if you feel called to not traditional career path, you may have to do things at first and invest in it enough, including with like your time on the other hand. I don't know if you relate to that at all, because it's just things don't happen overnight. And I think we in a social media world are so used to seeing instant like ability to grow, because we see someone go on a reality show and immediately they're a star. Like, but the truth is most growth in any non-traditional career is going to happen slowly, and strong roots are humble roots that grow slowly. And so don't be afraid of the slow growth, because it often means that it's standing firm, that it is not able to move easily, that you are passionate about it. Because I'm so glad that things just didn't happen overnight for me. Like it took a lot of time, but it also took a lot of work, whether it was nannying, wiping babies' butts, like that I love. But, and God was so cool in that, because I met mentors that way. Like I became a better writer because of those moments. And so don't resent that. I think realizing too, and I talked about this earlier to you on the side, because now I live in Atlanta, my parents love them. They love God. We're not happy about it. Like sometimes when I tell my parents, I feel like God's calling me here, they're like, what? And they were the same way with my career. They were like, one day you're going to have to get a real job, Grace. I said it to me multiple times. I remember crying on the phone to my mom being like, one day you will see that like this is where God has called me. And now they see it. Now they love it. So if you ever see me with my parents, please tell them that you read my stuff. It's my favorite. My people come up to me when I'm with my parents. I'm like, see, it worked out. Okay. But I think you have to listen to the spirit more than you listen to just anyone else who's worried about fear for you. Like my parents, they want me to be successful. Like I can't blame them for that, but I have to listen to the spirit more than I listen to their fear. And I also have to have mentors in my life who are attuned to the spirit, who pray for me, who are able to speak life into me. And yeah, gosh, there's so many other things to have on that. I mean, you might be made fun of at first too. I remember frat boys making fun of me. You might suck at first too. And I think that's what's best thing about life is like your first podcast is going to suck. Your first writing is going to suck. Don't immediately think that like, hey, I've never written anything. I want to write a book. I feel called to. That's going to immediately be great. Like you might need to write other stuff first to work on your craft. And it's so beautiful. Allow yourself to suck. Give yourself room to suck, because that's when you're able to grow in Christ and grow in your craft. and be able to see the gifts that God has given you. Cause then you realize, wait, this works, this doesn't. And have friends active in your life to show whatever it is, whether you're making pottery, whether you're selling plants, like show and ask for their feedback. And I think that's important. You have to be able in any creative career or non-traditional career to handle feedback and not be insulted by feedback. So sometimes my friends will be like, I don't get this. This is confusing. I can't take that as an attack. I have to be like, wait, what can I do to make this relatable and someone can understand it like this person? So I don't know if you relate to any of that too.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I'm like, even the thing about staying humble, like what are some ways that you do stay humble even when you see like a post blows up or your book sells out or your retreat has a ton of girls come to it? Like, how do you keep yourself humble even in those highlights?
Yeah, I think I should remember that it's not me. It's literally God. I'm like, I would never, the fact that this could, like, people would even care about things I write. And I remember those humble moments when no one cared, when frat boys made fun of me. And I used to cry about that. And now I'm like, oh man, God was truly preparing my heart. Because if you believe the worst thing someone says about you, then you're going to believe the best thing someone says about you. And you can't believe either of those things. I can't be encouraged by someone who says that they are inspired by my writing, but I can't believe her when she says that I'm amazing and whatever. Like, I need to believe the people around me who know my heart and who know my faith, who are very aware of me and my struggles. So don't believe the worst thing you hear about yourself and don't believe the best thing. Like, listen to the people who actually know you. And that's truly where you should be taking feedback from. And that has helped me stay like humble. And I will say also, like, I still babysit because, man, like, if you think you're better than a job that pays you $15 an hour, then you're not humble in this inflation in this world. So I do that. And like, there's some, I mean, don't get me wrong, I definitely still, if I want to get my nails done, I need to do that. So, but I do that on purpose because I'm like, I will never regret doing that. I substitute teach because it's a ministry opportunity. I'm like, I get to literally be around kids and they think I'm just a sub. And then I'll be like, yeah, I write books. And they'll be like, what? And then it'll be like super fun. I did it in public schools in Orlando and it was a great opportunity to meet kids who didn't know Jesus and always be serving in some way or another, because when you're serving, and also when you're serving in a way that is like, yes, your giftings, but not your specialty, it is really cool to watch God work. So like, substitute teaching, not my specialty. Like, I helped my new church with a sixth grade girl group for their youth group on their winter retreat. And I loved it because they didn't read my stuff. They didn't know who I was. They were that age where they want to like cuddle, but they also want to be like cool. And it was really funny because I'm used to high schoolers or college girls. And I was like, what do I do with this 12-year-old? I'm like, hey, honey. Yeah. But it was humbling and it was great. And so allow like your weakness to be shown because it shows Christ's strength. And yeah, I hope that explains it well enough.
That's so good. I love that so much. And yes, it's so true. Like, especially serving in areas where it's like not your strength. I started serving in Young Life and that literally put me so out of my comfort zone, because it's like all these high schoolers who are like, I mean, they like are cool. I mean, they look like high schoolers now. I'm like, you look so much older than me and I'm literally 24 pregnant. They think I'm in high school a lot of times. Like, they'll like look at me and they're like, you're not in high school, and I'm like, no. So anyways,
as I get every time, the worst is when I was girls minister, I remember moms being like, are you in the church? Are you what? I'm like, no, I'm actually the one in charge. And they're like, oh. And they're like,
I know.
Yes, I'm doing good.
I know, as I like got super pregnant, I am laughing because people are probably gonna be like, oh, teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, like, poor baby. I know. You're like, show the wedding ring whenever you go somewhere.
Actually, like, I'm 24. The nail
lady. One time off his knee. And I would always take the kids I needed to the dollar store and I'd be like, you can pick out one of anything, you know, and they're like, this is so fun. And as I was checking out, I mean, I had three kids on me. Like, I looked like I was like, and I was tired. This guy was like, I'll buy it today. And I was like, this guy thinks I'm this teenage girl, like, has no wedding ring, like three kids, yelling at the kids, only one thing at the dollar store. He goes, and I'll get you one more thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he thinks I'm like, so, and I was like, you know what? Buy it. Do it. So serve funny. Me. Like, you blessing.
That's so funny. Yeah. It's, yeah. So definitely like serving in that ministry has really pushed me out of my comfort zone, because I feel like my like bread and butter was like college girls, mm-hmm. post-grad girls. So high school has been really cool, because like, I was not a cool kid in high school. I was the girl that had like two friends and was so weird. Funny. So It's been really, really humbling and beautiful to see how, like, truly, truly, like, we can't do anything in our own strength. Like, it's the Lord that gives us the strength to do these things. And especially, like, it always blows my mind, like, when a girl will come up to me and she asks me a question about the Lord, and I'm like, whoa, like, I was not expecting that. Like, it's just so beautiful to me how God does work through all these different things. Like, not just working through you writing books, like, he works through you substitute teaching. Like, you're not limited to one box item to serve the Lord's kingdom, which is really, really beautiful and super cool.
I love that. That's such a great testament.
Okay, another question. I know we talked a little bit about, like, health and wellness slightly, but some people were wondering, just like in general, I mean, you're so confident. I feel like you just radiate confidence. And we talked a little bit about identity, but do you have any other tips for someone who's maybe struggling with their confidence and feels really self-conscious?
Yeah, I mean, like I think just in general, I think remember that if you cheer other girls on, you're gonna be more confident too. That if you start comparing other people to each other, like if you play that you're prettier than her, like even if you're talking to your friends, like if you at any point in your words or in your thoughts tear other girls down, you're gonna tear yourself down too. And so I'm like, we as girls have so much voices telling us that we're not enough. Like we don't need each other to do it too. So I think when you are a girl's girl and like a God's girl, so you cheer on your sisters in Christ, like you're gonna end up being confident too. So like you may be the only single one of your friends, like that was me most of my life, but celebrate your friends well. Like you should be praying for other girls in your friends so much that when good things happen to them, you're not thinking it in jealousy. You're like, wait, God answered my prayers too. And so I would just encourage anyone struggling with confidence, start praying for other people just as much as you pray for your own desires. Because when you do, you learn to celebrate people well. And when you celebrate people and have a posture of celebration and care, it's hard to have a posture of jealousy and comparison. And I think so often the reason we're jealous and compare is because we're not celebrating people enough and we're not praying for people enough. And so just having that perspective. And I mean, even for me, I think I've just had to realize that we live in a culture where people are either self-obsessed or self-aware, or not, I'm sorry, they're either self-obsessed or self-loathing. And it's so important to just be self-aware and to be aware of like your giftings and your strengths and be aware of your weaknesses. And so when you realize I don't have to loathe myself, like I don't to have a godly body image, I don't need to hate my body, but also I don't need to post bikini pictures and feel like the hottest girl ever. Like, and to have confidence, like I can also just be aware of this is who I am, this is my body, this is my strengths, this is my weakness. Like I don't loathe it and I'm not obsessed with it. And like that's sometimes the best place to be confident, if that at all makes sense.
Yeah, that's so good. Literally taking notes. I love the thing about praying for other people. It's so true. It's like, I think even just taking our mindset off of ourselves for a second and just thinking about others, like, it has a huge impact. 'Cause, like, I've even noticed in my own walk, like, just literally thinking about myself, like, constantly being like, oh, like, this, how does this serve me? How does this serve me? Like, how does this, like, glorify myself? And then, like, realizing, okay, I'm making myself an idol, I'm putting myself on a pedestal, but it's like humbling ourselves and being like, okay, we're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to become this, I don't even know, like the hot, like we're saying the hottest person alive. Like we ha like the Lord has given us different people in our life in community. And so like, it's also as a believer, like it's our role to also pray for our friends and also hype up a random stranger at the grocery store and also respond to that person's text who maybe is feeling like it seems a little needy because they texted you at midnight about something, but like not just ignoring them because it's weird. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm learning this in my day-to-day walk. Like I need to serve others and love them well and make it a little less about me and more about like, how would Jesus walk on this planet Earth? Because he wasn't like, oh, like my own self-care month, no one else, not me. I have a couple more questions that are like really fire, and especially, I mean, you are definitely someone who takes a lot of leaps of faith, and you like, I mean, the fact that you just picked up and left and moved to a totally new city, like that takes a lot of guts, and even going down a career path where it's like not the most cookie cutter, this will happen kind of way. How, like, when the Lord's calling you to something, how do you truly walk in faith and not in fear?
Yeah, and I think it's so important to remember that you can have God's peace and be uncomfortable, and I think that's what people get confused. So I think so many times people think you have to be comfortable in order to like feel God's peace. And I'm like, I've learned sometimes that feels peace in the most uncomfortable situations when I'm driving my Honda Civic full of all my stuff, where I'm trying to redo my life when I'm financially spending the last dime so I can afford a couch, because couches are expensive. Like, I can find God's peace in those moments. And there's a, this is like a secular quote I've heard once, and it says a ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what a ship is meant for. And I think same thing as you and me, like when we're trying to take leaps of faith, like we're safe if we don't do it. But like, what if we're going to miss out on what we're meant for? Like, what if we're going to miss out on an opportunity to see God's purpose in it? And so I've heard that quote before and it really got me. And so I very much think that it's important when you take a leap of faith to like talk to people around you, like asking them for prayers, be praying about it, and search for God's peace. And remember that the worst thing that can happen is you fall on your face. And when you're falling on your face, it's a great opportunity to go talk to God. So there's like, if you don't live in fear of embarrassment, like there's so much you can do. And so I think once I realized, okay, if I moved to Atlanta and one day I decided to move back to Florida, what am I to lose? Nothing. Like, I might lose my pride, but that isn't, it's not the end of the world. Maybe I lost some money, but like, I know I tried. Like, I'm always going to wonder if I didn't try. And so that's something I think is so important.
Yeah, I love that. I can also attest, I moved from Miami to New York, lived there for 5 months, and then moved back Florida. It cost a lot of money. It was an expensive mistake. Or, I mean, it wasn't even a mistake. It was just like an expensive learning lesson. And like, I'm here. I'm great. I'm really, really happy and grateful for where I am now. And so like, if you are someone listening who maybe wants to take that leap and you're feeling led to go somewhere, like, it genuinely, there's no way to fail if it's the Lord's calling on your life. So that's, yeah, it's like a little hot tip I have for that. Okay, one more question that it's so funny because I was actually gonna like make the whole episode about this, but you know, the Lord leads in different ways. Okay, you post a lot of mini books about relationships, and I know there's a lot of people listening who probably want all the relationships, situationships, singleness tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. So for the girl, let's just start with a girl who's like currently single. Do you have any tips for navigating a season of singleness?
Yeah, I mean, most of my life I've been single. I've been the single friend where I've been a bridesmaid so many times. And I think there's been times when I walk in bitterness because of it. And I'm like, what do I not have? And finally, I realized that someone's praying for something I currently have, including my singleness, that it is better to be lonely and single than in a relationship with someone who's not God's best and lonely there. And so once I realized that, I'm like, okay, we're also so young. Like, the life is so short. My singleness has been the greatest blessing in my life. Like, I would not be doing what I do if it wasn't for my singleness. But the cool thing is, even like at Purpose Retreat, my best friend Haley, who like helps manage my stuff, who's like a co-director of the retreat, like, she would not be doing what she did if it wasn't for the fact that she met her husband so young. It has made her best self. And I think I realized how unique God is. Like, he knows us so well. And we hear in Psalms where it says, God does not withhold anything good from his children who walk upright. And I truly believe that, like, if you're walking God's obedience, like, he's going to know what's good for you and he's going to give it to you. So if you are trusting God, if you are praying, if you are doing everything that you think quote unquote is right, like, and you don't have a relationship, there's something good for you there. And I look at my life, I would not have been where I am. Like, I would have probably not babysat and nanny, like, and watch other people's kids that made me better. And so there's so much joy that comes from just not realizing God does not withhold anything good from us. But also, I think when it comes to singleness, admit that it's okay that you want a relationship. I think we live in a world where people tell you, like, it happens when you least expect it. The minute you don't want it, it'll appear. And although that may be like true in some ways, at the end of the day, that's not like anything that makes sense to someone who wants it. Like, it is a holy desire that you want a good relationship and a good guy to care for you and point you to Christ, and you point him to Christ. Like, that is a good desire. It doesn't desire that you have to be like, I don't care, I have no hormones. Like, you're okay to admit that you want that. And I think when I realized it wasn't pathetic to want that, that's when I was able to find like freedom in that I wanted it and be like, yeah, I do want it. Yeah, it'd be great if people set me up. Yeah, it would be great if I met someone. But even if not, God is still good and there must be something good in this life. And so I think stop thinking your feelings are pathetic. And some people will make them out to be, and you don't need to listen to those people because they may not understand the dating world today. And lastly, sometimes our boredom can make us settle. And like, I know that's me in my life of situationships, that suddenly when you've been single for a while, you're like, maybe I'll just settle for this one guy. Like, he's kind of great. He has some of the attributes I prayed for. And make sure that you're not being bored in your singleness, that you're staying busy in the spirit of like, I'm going to be serving here. I'm going to be doing this, because that's where you'll be meeting good people. And you won't settle in those moments because you have things going on that, you know, in order to give someone time, it's going to be saying no to things that are fruitful. And so be fruitful in that singleness.
That's so good. And for the girl who's listening, who's maybe in that situationship or in, like, I don't know if you've ever been in this, but like a really long relationship where it's kind of like deep down, you know, it's not right. And just like that. I mean, even if it's not a long
Being turned
relationship,
on.
yeah, just kind of like knowing it's not the right person. Like, how, like, in those situations, like, how would you, like, what advice would you give to that girl to like get out of that or navigate that?
I would say, well, one, a hard breakup is hard, but a divorce is way harder. So it's like, when are you gonna cut it off? Like, I've watched people go through divorces and it sucks. Like, it is so sad. And it maybe if that's even you going through that too, like, it's hard to even wait another 10 years. Like, what do you actually need from to be able to find freedom is sometimes walk away. So especially if you're just dating someone, like, give yourself the grace to be like, man, it's going to be hard to walk away. And God knows that. I know that. People know that. But it's going to be a lot harder if I settle and I have to look at my daughter one day and tell her why I settled, you know? And I think that is sometimes the most freeing, best advice you can get is, I'm like, one day you're going to have a daughter and she's going to ask you about your relationships. Like, are you going to tell her that you settled for a while? Like, you know, are you going to tell her that you waited one more day? And each day you stay in that is a day that you're not even being kind to him. You know, because you're not calling him to be better, or you're not even letting him find a chance to find someone that maybe is better suited for him. And so you're not even being kind and caring to him by not breaking up with him in those moments. And yeah, I think so many times it's just about having one hard conversation so that you can have a fruitful life. And we can't be afraid of hard conversations.
Yeah, that's so good. And even just like, I think the fear of that post-breakup season, like, it is hard. It is like, it isn't a comfortable time at first. Like, I mean, maybe it will be. Maybe if it's the right thing and you have been ready to break up for that person for a really long time, like, it won't be the hardest thing in the world. But I think regardless, like, we're gonna have moments in our lives that aren't the highlight reels, that are the lows, and they don't feel good. But like in those moments, like when I've had those moments in my life, I literally have been like shaped into such a better version of myself. And I mean, the post breakup glow up is real. It is so
So
real.
real.
So real.
Become like, and it's only real if you lean on Christ. So, like, you know, I think in like Psalms, it also says, like, God is a refuge and strength. Like, you have to allow God to be your refuge, like the safe place you go to when you need comfort, but also your strength to get up in the morning. So, if you're going through that, like, let Him be both your comfort when you feel like the world is against you and it sucks and His mom feels like she's out to get you, but also let Him be your strength and the reason you wake up and have hope that there's more. And that is when you get the breakup glow up and you end up being better.
For real, it's so true. And like, I mean, for me, I used to put my identity so much in guys I was dating. Like, I was the girlfriend all the time. Like, I literally was in a relationship constantly. Like, that's just how I was in high school and in college. And so I think like in the times when I was single, it was so hard because I'd been putting my entire identity in this one person, almost looking at them as my God. And so I think also like if you are, I mean, any relationship, if you're single, date, or I mean, single, I guess you're not like in a romantic relationship, but like if you're, let's say, dating, engaged, married, whatever it is important to like check yourself and be like, am I putting this person above the Lord? Like, is he my God? Because I've even done that with John in our marriage, and I had to be like, okay, we need to not make this an idol because it can happen so easily, especially like when we love them so much and they're right in front of us. And I think like especially in dating relationships, like it makes that breakup a lot easier if it's gonna happen. I mean, regardless, I think it's just like a healthier way to have relationships. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's such good truth.
Okay, so before we go, is there like anything? Okay, first of all, I want you to just plug like your books, plug your retreat, all the things, because you
Oh.
offer. I actually have one of your books. I'm looking at it right now. It's the I Am Enough book,
Oh.
and
Oh,
John
my
got.
first one. It's so funny.
John got it for me. I want to say it was like last year. I was like struggling off
Wait,
my
that's so
confidence.
sweet. That's so cute.
Yeah, I think I have another one. I'm not sure. I don't see it right there, but I know I have two of them. So,
That's
anyways,
cute.
okay. Tell where can everyone find you? Because I mean, you have everyone like Grace Valentine is such good stuff, like for real.
Well, my Instagram is at the Grace Valentine, and in the links to my bio, you can find all my books. You can find info about Purpose Retreat. That's May 16th through 19th, I want to say. We're so excited. We still have some spots left. You can use the code SURPRISE for a little discount. So I think it'll only work for four more people, though. So hopefully you're listening to this. You can be one of those four people. And yeah, other than that, yeah, at the Grace Valentine on Instagram is the best place. My books are available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold. I have Am I Enough? I have Is It Just Me? What Will They Think? And my devotional to the girl looking for more, which is full of mini books. And so I think they're all on sale right now too. So yeah, I think that's basically it. I think that's all I got to plug. Oh, and I have my course coming out too. So if you are a big dreamer in the creative space, that'll be out soon, if not now when this is airing. And so yeah, stay tuned on my Instagram. You'll see more information about that soon.
Definitely go check her out for real. Like, I love reading your mini books on Instagram. Like, they're so good, so fire. So everyone go check her out. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This episode is like, I feel like I'm going to call it Navigating Your 20s or something. Like, it's such a good, like, navigating
broad.
Your 20s. Yeah. Like, so like everything packed in. I love it.
I know. It's packed in relationships, body image, movement, everything. Yeah. So. But you're so great. You're a great friend. And I want to thank everyone for listening to your podcast. It's fun knowing that there's people supporting my friends who are just as great in person as they are online. So if you ever wondered if she's just as great in person, it is true. And so thank you for supporting her podcast. Like and subscribe. She won't say it, or maybe she will, but like, make sure you like give her the like 5 stars, whatever, because she's just as great. She pours her heart into this podcast. So.
Aw, thanks. You're so sweet. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you absolutely loved it and took so much goodness out of it. Definitely go check out all of Grace's things, like the Purpose Retreat, her books, her mini books on Instagram. She has so much wisdom to share and give and is truly an awesome resource. Also, DM her too if you ever have any questions about anything we talked about. She is there for you. Last but not least, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means the world to me. And I just love like this time every single week, just sharing God's goodness through different topics, whether that's health and wellness, whether that's just relationships, whether that's career stuff, whether that's whatever it is. I'm so thankful to have this platform and community. If you're looking for a deeper community and want to connect with other Healthy Be Human listeners, I have a weekly Bible study. It's virtual. We have girls join it from all over the country. I don't know if it's accessible for all over the world yet, but definitely check it out. It's every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. If you can't make the Bible study, we have a group chat and the girls will chat in it all the time, sending things that are happening in their lives, questions. It's so much fun and such a little tight-knit community. So definitely go check that out. I'll link that below as well. Otherwise, have the best day. I will see you next week. Literally, keep being amazing. You have a purpose for being alive. You're beautiful. You're wonderfully made. And I am just so pumped for everything the Lord is going to do for you. So, or do through you and for you. And yeah, so before we go, just have the best day. Keep being amazing. Praying for blessings of peace, confidence, and joy over you in your life. In Jesus' name. All right, I'll see you next week. Have the best day. Stay healthy.